Isaac's Bride, Part 2. In the first part of this study, we learned how Abraham sent his chief servant back to his own country, to his own people, to seek out a bride for his son Isaac. Let us continue to follow the story and see how Abraham's servant got on. We read in Genesis 24:10-31. Then the servant left, taking with him 10 of his master's camels loaded with all kinds of good things from his master. He set out for Aram Naharaim and made his way to the town of Nahor. He had the camels kneel down near the well outside the town. It was towards evening, the time the women go out to draw water. Then he prayed, Lord God of my master Abraham, make me successful today. And show kindness to my master Abraham. See, I am standing beside this spring, and the daughters of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. May it be that when I say to a young woman, please let down your jar, that I may have a drink, and she says, drink, and I'll water your camels too. Let her be the one you have chosen for your servant Isaac. By this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. Before he had finished praying, Rebekah came out with her jar on her shoulder. She was the daughter of Bethuel, son of Milcah, who was the wife of Abram's brother Nahor. The woman was very beautiful, a virgin. No man had slept with her. She went down to the spring, filled a jar, and came up again. The servant hurried to meet her and said, please, give me a little water from your jar. Drink, my lord, she said, and quickly lowered the jar in her hand and gave him to drink. After she had given him a drink, she said, I'll draw water for your camels too, until they have had enough to drink. So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough, ran back to the well to draw more water, and drew enough for all his camels. Without saying a word, the man watched her closely to learn whether or not the Lord had made his journey successful. When the camels had finished drinking, the man took out a gold nose ring, weighed a beaker, and 2 gold bracelets weighing 10 shekels. Then he asked, whose daughter are you? Please tell me, is there room in your father's house for us to spend the night? She answered him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, born to Nahor. And she added, we have plenty of straw and fodder, as well as room for you to spend the night. Then the man bowed down and worshipped the Lord, saying, praise be to the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not abandoned his kindness and faithfulness to my master. As for me, the Lord has led me on the journey to the house of my master's relatives. The young woman ran and told her mother's household about these things. Now Rebekah had a brother named Laban, and he hurried out to the man at the spring. As soon as he had seen the nose ring and the bracelets on his sister's arms, and had heard Rebekah tell what the man said to her, he went out to the man and found him standing by the camels near the spring. Come, you are blessed of the Lord, he said. Why are you standing here? I have prepared the house and the place for the camels. So the man went to the house and the camels were unloaded. Straw and fodder were brought to the camels and water for him and his men to wash their feet. Then food was set before him, but he says, I will not eat until I have told you what I have to say. What success did Abram's servant have? But we have to ask the question, what were those important actions a servant took leading up to successfully meeting Isaac's future bride? When the servant arrived at Abram's home, town of Nahor, we read in Genesis 24:12-14, he set out for Aram Naharaim and made his way to the town of Nahor. He had his camels kneel down near the well outside the town. It was towards evening, the time the women go out to draw water. Then he prayed, Lord God of my master, Abram, make me successful today, and show kindness to my master, Abram. See, I am standing beside this spring, and the daughter of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. May it be that when I say to a young woman, please let down your jar, that I may have a drink, and she says, drink, and I'll water your camels too. Let her be the one you have chosen for your servant Isaac. By this I will know that you have shown kindness to my servant. The servant was not in a position to get a second opinion from his master. He was so aware of his commission. He had to discern for himself if this was the lady whom Isaac would marry, although he did have other servants to help him with the 10 camels. He knew God was with him. He, like his master, was close to his heavenly Father. He realized his dependence on God. So as soon as he arrived, he prayed to God for help. Then we read Genesis 24, verse 15. Before he had finished praying, Rebekah came out with her jar on her shoulder. How the heart of the servant must have danced as he saw God answering his prayer. We read in Isaiah 65, verse 24, when God made a promise to his chosen people, this is what he said, before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. For Abram's servant, God did indeed answer. In his prayer, the servant also requested God give him a sign. So he asked God in Genesis 24:14, may it be that when I say to the young woman, please let down your jar, that I may have a drink, and she says, drink, and I'll water your camels too, let her be the one you have chosen for your servant Isaac. By this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. Like Abram's servant, sometimes we have to be bold and exercise our faith by asking God for a certain type of circumstance to happen by God, which will indicate to us and reassure us that this is the person or action we should be taking. God spoke to Jeremiah and asked him to say to the Israelites, Jeremiah 6:16, this is what the Lord says, stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. In the next few verses, Genesis 24:34-48, Rebekah takes the servant to meet her family. The servant then relays the full story of Abram sending the servant back to their own family to seek out a bride for Isaac, and how, on arrival at the well, God went before him, with Rebekah coming out to meet him, to discover she was indeed a member of Abram's family. He was overwhelmed by the generous way Rebekah and her family showed him kindness. After explaining why he had come, Abram's servant said to the family, Genesis 24:49, now, if you will show kindness and faithfulness to my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, so I may know which way to turn. We read their response in Genesis 24:50-61. Laban and Bethuel answered, this is from the Lord. We can say nothing to you one way or the other. Here is Rebekah. Take her and go, and let her become the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has directed. When Abram's servant heard what they said, he bowed down to the ground before the Lord. Then the servant brought out gold and silver jewelry and articles of clothing and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave costly gifts to her brother and to her mother. Then he and the men who were with him ate and drank and spent the night there. When they got up the next morning, he said, send me on my way to my master. But her brother and her mother replied, let the young woman remain with us 10 days or so, then you may go. But he said to them, Do not detain me. Now that the Lord has granted success to my journey, send me on my way, so I may go to my master. Then they said, Let's call the young woman and ask her about it. So they called Rebekah and asked her, Will you go with this man? I will go, she said. So they sent their sister Rebekah on her way, along with her nurse and Abram's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, Our sister, may you increase to thousands upon thousands. May your offspring possess the cities of their enemies. Then Rebekah and her attendants got ready, mounted the camels and went back to with the man. So the servant took Rebekah and left. God himself is seeking out a bride to live with him in heaven for eternity. The Apostle John saw in a vision the bride of Christ. We read in Revelation 19:6-9, Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, Hallelujah! For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people. Then the angel said to me, that is John, write this, Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, These are the true words of God. Just like Abram's chief servant, being sent out to seek a bride for Isaac, he is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. God in like manner has given all his church a commission to go into the world, led by the Holy Spirit, inviting men and women to follow Jesus and become part of the church, which is also referred to as his chosen bride. One day, Christ is going to call his church, his bride, up to heaven, to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Jesus, who is the Lamb of God, is making ready for the wedding ceremony, which the church is waiting for. During our time here on earth, while we wait for that glorious event, we can enjoy courting the Prince of Peace, giving us time to know our Bridegroom, our Saviour, Jesus. Let us continue with the story where Abraham's servant escorts Rebekah to meet Isaac. In Genesis 24:62-67 we read, Now Isaac had come from Beer Leah Roy, for he was living in the Negev. He went out to the field one evening to meditate, and as he looked up, he saw camels approaching. Rebekah also looked up and saw Isaac. She got down from her camel and asked the servant, Who is this man in the field coming to meet us? He is my master, the servant answered. So she took her veil and covered herself. Then the servant told Isaac all he had done. Isaac brought her into the tent of his mother Sarah, and he married Rebekah. So she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Before we actually talk about Isaac and Rebekah meeting up, let us pause and consider what Isaac was doing when he first set his eyes on Rebekah. It says in Genesis 24, verse 63, He went out to the fields one evening to meditate, and as he looked up, he saw the camels approaching. I just wonder what Isaac was meditating about. Could it be about his future bride? Maybe. I ask the question, how much time do we spend meditating about spending our future with our bridegroom, our dear Saviour Jesus? At times as a young man I used to meditate by taking a drive to a scenic part of the farm where I lived, park up and put a worship tape into my cassette player. In that divine atmosphere I could sense God's presence, It enabled me, as I read my Bible and meditate on it, to hear God's voice speaking through His Word, illuminating my heart and spirit, and revealing precious truths, bringing nourishment and joy to my soul. When we invite Jesus into our life, the Holy Spirit will give you a passion to know more about Him. But not just to know about Him, but give you a passion to serve Him, using the giftings He has made available, unique to each one of us. This will mean spending time in the Bible, where we will read firsthand how He has and still continues to show His deep love for all His followers. Remember, before Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, each evening God came and communed with them. God in love still wants to have loving communion with all mankind, if only we would respond to His invitation. That is why He has placed us here on earth. Revelation 4:11 says, taking it from the King James Version, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." As I reflect on that moment when Isaac and Rebekah first set eyes on one another, I am reminded at the commencement of any wedding service of that moment when the bridegroom turns around to see his new bride dressed in all her beautiful refinery, walking up the aisle to meet her future husband. The bridegroom turns to see his bride in her finery and beauty. Their eyes meet in deep affection. It's a precious heart-stopping moment for them both. They know that in the next few moments they are to become husband and wife. They soon will be one. We read in Genesis 2:24, "That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh." When Isaac and Rebekah had set eyes on one another, it says in Genesis 24:64-65, "Rebekah also looked up and saw Isaac. She got down from her camel and asked the servant, 'Who is this man in the fields coming to me?' 'He is my master,' the servant answered. So she took her veil and covered herself." Occasionally, at a wedding, the bride will wear a veil to cover her face. Then, when the bridegroom meets up with his bride, he or the bride's father lifts the veil back over her head to see her face in all its joy and beauty. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, in similar vein, reminds us, as Jesus' bride, we also are veiled from Jesus during our time here on earth. We read in 1 Corinthians 13:12, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face." What the Apostle is reminding us is that while here on earth, we, while wearing this earthly cloak, our human frame, struggling with the old sinful nature that continues to test us each day, one day the veil will be lifted from our eyes. We will be transformed to His likeness when we meet Him in glory. The songwriter has penned those words to the hymn titled, "I Am Waiting for the Dawning." It reads, "I am waiting for the dawning of that bright and glorious day, when the darksome night of sorrow shall have vanished far away, when forever with the Saviour, far beyond this veil of tears, I shall swell the hymn of worship through the everlasting years." The last verse says, "I am waiting for the coming of the Lord who died for me. Oh, His words have thrilled my spirit. I will come again for thee." Faith can almost hear Christ's footfall on the threshold of the door. And my heart is longing to be with Him evermore. In closing, I would like to tell you about a young American lady whose name is Ruth. She, as a young girl, yearned for a man who she could look up to, a Christian man who would have a passion for serving God. Ruth was a young girl of 13 living in China, whose parents were medical missionaries, asking God to send the right man for her. This is what she wrote. Dear God, I prayed, all afraid, as we're inclined to do. I do not need a handsome man, but let him be like you. I do not need one big and strong, nor yet so very tall. Nor need he be some genius, or wealthy lord at all. But let his head be high, dear God, and let his eyes be clear, his shoulders straight, whate'er his state, whate'er his earthly sphere. And let his face have character, a ruggedness of soul, and let his whole life show, dear God, a singleness of goal. Then, when he comes, as he will come, with quiet eyes aglow, I'll understand that he's the man I prayed for long ago. After writing this request to God, Ruth's parents sent her to boarding school in North Korea for 3 years. It was a lonely life. She was very homesick. Then a little while later, while her parents on furlough, that is, on a Christian sabbatical back in America, Ruth attended Wheaton Christian College, Carolina. There she met a tall, handsome man, whose name many of us are very familiar with. It was Billy Graham. It was a marriage in heaven. She did indeed have her prayers answered. Billy Graham called his wife the greatest Christian I ever knew. After her death at 87 on June the 14th, 2007, she was the only one in whom I completely confided. She was a great student of the Word of God. Her life was ruled by the Bible more than any individual I have ever known. When it comes to spiritual things, my wife had the greatest influence on my ministry. Their son, Franklin Graham, said, she was a tremendous resource for him. She was his closest friend, his lover, his wife, the mother of children, but his closest confidant too. With the loyal support of his loving wife, Billy Graham traveled the world, sharing God's wonderful word of life to millions. I cannot wait to join with a myriad of fellow Christians at the great wedding supper of the Lamb. Amen.